You're listening to PorchDrinking.com's The Porchcast, brought to you by First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, located in the heart of Denver's Rhino Art District at 1309 26th Street, featuring a pour-your-own draft system with over 40 incredible beers to sample from. Also, Made by Chalk, who can help with all of your brewery branding, logo design, and website needs. And now, The Porchcast. All right, everyone, and welcome to episode 48 of The Porchcast. We are broadcasting today live from, not live, well, we're live right now.
Live at the time.
We're broadcasting from live Vine Street Pub, one of the Mountain Sun family of breweries, brew pubs. We're joined by John Fiorilli, is that correct?
Correct.
All right, yeah. This is probably take three of our attempt to podcast with you, John.
We've tried a few times.
I apologize, but luckily we've got the trusty Sam Sly here rocking the ones and twos, checking our levels, making sure that we're actually hitting record for the first time.
We're done.
It is recording. And I think the last blowout of the attempt of this was probably my fault, too. So
no.
That was on me.
This was before we had any sort of traditional, semi-professional equipment. But in the long list of long lost episodes, we recorded here probably 2 years ago, and did not hit the record button, so that was a lost, forever gone episode.
Been there many times.
It's gone.
Still had a great time.
It was all about the camaraderie.
Exactly.
And we're also joined by co-hosts Sammy.
Hello.
Hartman. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Good to see you.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, back in the hot seat once again.
Back in action.
So, lots to get to. It's our first broadcast, I believe, since Big Beers. Is that right?
I think so.
Wow. Very bizarre. And so, we have lots to touch on. A few things that we want to talk about this month. Of course, Stout Month is going to be at the core. But something that happened just yesterday was that we got to touch a little bit on is the announcement that Stone Brewing is going to be suing MillerCoors for the use of the word stone in Keystone. We'll get to that a little bit more, but also on the agenda, we are in February 2018, so we're in prime time Olympics coverage. That's going to be something that dominates this mind right here, because I am an Olympic fiend. I'm sure all of you all have been watching a little bit as well. Other stuff that's on the radar, Sam Adams, Sierra Nevada, joined the ranks of New Belgium and Epic in the Hazy IPA train. We can also touch on Dogfish Head making some bizarre stouts and using crazy flavors as per usual, crazy ingredients. Touch a little bit on Lost in the Woods from New Belgium. Pliny the Elder is going to be released again. And Pliny the Younger, correct. Pliny the Younger coming back out here on tap here very soon. We also have Collaboration Fest and the Super Bowl to look back on as well. So let's jump right into it. First and foremost, guys, Stone Brewing suing MillerCoors, swinging for the big boys over the use of the word stone. For those who aren't familiar, Keystone Light has been pretty aggressive in their usage of the word stone lately in their marketing rebranding efforts. And so Greg Cook, founder of Stone Brewing, took to the YouTubes and announced that he was going to be filing suit against MillerCoors. What are your initial thoughts, everybody?
I mean, I just think, especially looking at that can, it's like, come on, guys. They knew exactly the decision that they were making by changing up their branding like that. And it's not like Stone is one of those recognizable craft brands to definitely an entry-level craft drinker. And so if they just see Stone on a can, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody was like, oh, it's that Stone Brewing Company, instead of realizing that it's a Key Light.
Absolutely.
And so I think that was a pretty decisive move by MillerCoors to trick them. I kind of think back, back when Colorado Native came out, everyone was like, is this craft? Is this craft coming? Where's this coming from? Mm-hmm. And, sure shit, it's AC Golden. So I just think little things like that are obvious to us, not so obvious to an everyday consumer.
Yeah. John, from a brewer's perspective, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter.
Well, I mean, I think Greg's always been great about defending his beer, his branding. I think what his main point is, the precedent was set when Miller Coors already tried to file for a trademark to use the term Stone and was denied.
Yeah.
So clearly they're just trying to push that harder. Mm-hmm. And it happens in our industry all the time. You see people try to push through trademark infringement, push through when sure. the TTB tells them they can't name a beer or something, and they sneak it in.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, he is absolutely correct. Miller Coors was denied the use of the term Stone. So what are they doing? They're just changing the layout of the can
yeah.
to separate the word, so you clearly see Stone at the forefront, and you know, I think it's in Stone's best interest. It's their right to defend their trademark.
Yeah, it's not only their right, but it's actually a necessity. I think one of the biggest misconceptions out there about trademark infringement and trademark defense is you know, people feel like breweries who file suit against other breweries are kind of the bad guys, but really in all actuality, they're required to actually defend their trademark, otherwise they would lose that trademark. And so it's really important that Stone here does defend that Stone name, otherwise they could lose their rights to use the word Stone yeah. altogether. And so I think, you know, John, you make a really great point of saying, I feel like Keystone has slowly been skirting the lines. And, you know, if you look into the article, it's up on Porch Drinking, but we have, you know, on there a comparison showing the actual label of the most recent, you know, rebranding of the can, and it shows the word Key in smaller font,
right.
and Stone is very prominently larger than the rest of the text on the can. And so, you know, it really is skirting the line of trying to cause a little bit of confusion, of making the word Stone more prominent than the rest of the text. And so I think it seems like to me it would be pretty cut and dry. Sam, you're our legal expert here. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Here, hand me Hunter's microphone.
Yeah, sure.
That way I can actually talk.
I don't know where I
generated. Legal scholar?
I don't know where I generated that. I do have friends that are lawyers, and I have used them many times. I don't know if that's where I got it from, but I have a lot of kind of almost mixed feelings. Like I agree with you guys. It's like a cut and dry case of they need to, you know, file the whatever the lawsuit. I did see a billboard with that branding when I was in Fort Collins over the weekend, and I honestly, like, the I don't know why, but for whatever reason, Stone didn't pop in my mind, but I was like, what is this? I'm like, Stone what? And then I saw the Key, because it's even on that, it's really small. I'm like, oh, Keystone. And we're all just laughing that Keystone's got a billboard in Fort Collins, a very beer-centric area. But after, like, it all came down, I was like, the only thing that I thought was interesting is that they felt compelled to make this very elaborate video to announce it. And, you know, whatever. If it's a PR thing, cool. I just thought that was kind of interesting, but I totally agree that, you know, kind of what you said, Tristan, you got to fight for those things, because if you lose that, that's a very important branding thing that, you know, it's hard to get back and hard to, like,
that's a slippery slope.
Yeah, recreate the damage, or not exactly. recreate, whatever, come back from the damage caused by that.
And Stone does have a track record of defending that. I'm staring right at this Vindication Brewing Company keg, mm-hmm. and when they opened in Boulder, their name was Kettle and Stone Brewing
yeah.
Company.
Totally.
And they got the call from Stone. I think Vindication is a cooler name anyway, and
yeah.
it all worked out for yeah. them, you know. But so, I mean, from both ends of the coin, you know, both sides of the coin from Stone, they defend what they're all about.
Well, it's interesting the route that Miller Coors has taken in response to this. I think we might have been the only publication that actually got an actual response from Miller Coors as of yet, but they responded with, "This lawsuit is a clever publicity stunt with a multi-camera, tightly scripted video featuring Stone's founder, Greg Cook. Since Keystone's debut in 1989, prior to the founding of Stone Brewing in 1996, our consumers have commonly used Stone to refer to the Keystone brand, and we will let the facts speak for themselves in the legal process." What are your thoughts on that?
So I immediately thought of, I mean, to me, it's not a name usage. It's a branding and, like,
yeah.
the label use. I immediately thought back to when Lagunitas filed the lawsuit, or was going to file a lawsuit against Sierra Nevada for the Hop Hunter, and
mm-hmm.
it was all over a font. So, I mean, if you can get down as close to a font, the way a word's laid out, which in this instance is definitely used to kind of ambiguify if that's a word.
Yeah, and right I think there. It's funny too that they are trying to cover this up with, like, the marketing slant and trying to, you know, criticize Stone for making this well-produced video. You know, when you have a marketing team as big as Stone's, you're going to have their input on the matter. And so you're going
to... I mean, what kind of video do they expect them to release when you're taking on MillerCoors in a kind of lawsuit? Like, you know, VHS camera or what?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you are Greg Cook. You know?
Yeah. Greg Cook is definitely the greatest showman in beer. And so he's definitely going to have his hand in any kind of announcement. Well, we are joined as per usual.
Greg Cook. Greg Cook who? How about first place, Fine Street, Brewers Olympics champion, Hunter Grondon in the building.
Boo.
Perfect timing.
Boo.
Belated as usual.
I left my silver at home.
I'm just busier than all of you. That's all. That's the only reason why I'm late.
Hunter shows up with an actual medal around his neck for the 2015 Mountain Sun.
Take a bite. Feel that real gold.
Brewers Olympic. This is fantastic. Perfect timing because we're segueing now to the Olympics. Hunter, tell us a little bit about what you have around your neck.
That's a first place gold medal.
Yeah, yeah. What's the event?
John actually put around my neck. That's why I brought it.
I sure did. 5 years of Brewers Olympics out in the street here at Vine Street. Yeah,
the best.
I miss those days for sure.
Me too.
And I believe he's still so the reigning champion, Ratio Beer Works.
Well, I mean, there hasn't been another one since.
And there may never be another one. So that's
another
it.
One. Okay. Oh, man.
Man.
Look at this. Have you guys been as pumped about the Olympics as I have? I feel like this
Chloe
is.
Chloe Kim. She's my girl.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys, John, are you a big Olympics fiend?
Oh, yeah, I'm watching everything. Ice hockey, curling, all the snow sports.
What's your favorite event?
I mean, I love, hockey is one of my favorite sports, so I love to watch the women's and men's hockey. Both is great. And then, yeah, anything they're going downhill on snow really fast, I'm going to watch.
Oh, man. I was watching, I stayed up late watching the luge event the past two nights. I mean, talk about insanity. Who gets into the luge events? Like, who wakes up one day and is like, you know what? I want to go down slide down this icy tube at like 80 miles per hour with nothing but just myself on this little board.
No, it's the people that are like, this was fun, but now I'm going to go head first and then it's skeleton. Like, those are the crazies.
It's just like, when bobsled gets boring, right? Yeah. And you step up to something else.
To like zhuzh this up. Skeleton is crazy.
I don't know which comedian I saw that posted about this, but he was talking about the luge. He's like, you know, the worst part about the luge is having that person have to wake up every day next to a frozen over abandoned water slide and hoping that it finally freezed up enough so that they can jettison down the slide. Hunter, what's your favorite event? What's your favorite Olympic event?
Wow, I don't know. I guess I'll go ahead and say it. I'm not like, I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't care.
Come on, what about your boy Red Gerard?
I like seeing... I like more watching like the joy of like the athlete that comes out of the athletes for competing.
Yeah, talk about
I'm not really
joy.
Biased by any event. Gerard is awesome. Yeah. Like my favorite part of the interview was him like winning a medal like right when
like,
he was announced.
What?
Like, throughout the he goes, holy fuck, I won. Like they hear how like it actually how genuine he was. It's like it's a reaction to winning on NBC's live.
You won the slope style, right?
Yeah.
Golden
slope style. 17 minutes.
Yeah, I just like watching the competitors and
Kid is incredible. First of all, I love the stones on this boy. Talking about his family, you know, talking about them waking up at 8:30 to shotgun beers, and
they are crazy, and they're all out there. There are like 17 of them out there.
I know. And then I don't know if you all saw this, but in one of the interviews, they asked him what he was how he's gonna spend the rest of his week because he's competing in another event later on. He's like, oh, I don't really. I think I'm gonna head back to Colorado for a few days. I don't really like the food out here, so I'll be flying back in a little
17
bit.
17 years old. He's 17 years old. Yeah. I also saw a clip of him being like, I just didn't really get that the Olympics were this big. It's like, I mean, what? The Olympics. You like take your like pry your face from your phone and like do a little bit of research for like the competition that you're going to.
Well, yeah, I recently watched Molly's Game, the movie. Have you guys seen that?
No.
It's actually about this former slalom racer, and she was from I think Telluride, Colorado, and she ended up qualifying, or she was on her qualifying run for the Olympics in fourth place, when she was going down the slalom, and they had when the line of vision isn't very good for slalom racing, they'll throw little like branches and sticks out so that you can see down the course. And apparently, this was to qualify for the I think Salt Lake Olympics. She on her last run, one of the sticks actually hit the right direction that dislocated her boot from the ski, and she went flying and got injured and, you know, clearly didn't qualify. Yeah. But she went on to the story, Molly's Game is about how she went on to become this, like, to set up all these, like, high-stakes poker games. And Aaron Sorkin went on to direct this film, and it's incredible. It's a really cool story and very timely for the Olympics, too. But I highly recommend people go check it out, Molly's Game, in theaters right now. So, but, yeah, let's jump into it. February is not just about the Olympics. It's all about Stout Month here in Colorado. John, thanks for having us once again.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it. You're the director of operations for Mountain Sun Breweries. What's your title?
On a good day, that's my title.
Well, tell us a little bit. This is a very momentous year for Stout Month. A big occasion. I believe it's your 20th anniversary?
25th?
Yeah, that's right.
So this is the 25th Stout Month, October it will be our 25th anniversary for opening the doors at Mountain Sun on Pearl Street.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's insane.
That's incredible. So tell us, I know we've done a little bit of background on the website for a number of years. Tell us a little bit about how Stout Month got started.
Hey man, it was all started by our first brewer, Jack Harris. He was a McMinniman's brewer that our owners, Kevin and Tom, recruited to come to move to Boulder and help us open the first brewery. And they knew going into our first February, it was likely going to be a slow month. So it was 100% Jack's idea. He was like, let's put a bunch of stouts on tap. Maybe it will create a little bit of buzz. Maybe February won't be like a totally dead month for us. And obviously the rest is just, we just keep rolling with it now. You know, Jack owns Fort George Brewery in Astoria, Oregon. And he does his stout month out there, which is just phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
And like, you know, every year I think we're doing incredible things. I think we are. But then I look at his website. Shit.
That's hilarious. Wow, so he went on to brew at Fort George, or he's the founder of
Fort
George?
Yeah, he's the founder, wow. Owner of Fort George, absolutely.
That's really cool.
You know?
Didn't realize that.
So yeah, we have a really fun beer from our mutual friend this year that was actually brewed with Jack for his stout month last year, and then they came back and brewed it here, and we have it on tap, so that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Jack Harris collaboration on tap, you know.
That's really cool.
Absolutely.
Now, you all, for this year, you all have done some really cool programming built around Stout Month. Can you give us a little sample of some of the events that are happening throughout the month for those who aren't familiar?
Yeah, we really went all out having each GM at each location come up with some original programming. Typically, we just rely on the stouts. But since it was the 25th anniversary, we really wanted to do a bunch of fun events. So Mountain Sun is doing tappings with a few local breweries, Vindication and Sanitas. Southern Sun is just doing lots of fun events. My favorite one, it's already passed, but they did a super awesome Groundhog Day event where everyone dressed up as a different Bill Murray character.
Oh, that's
nice.
For me, everyone's like, what's the tie-in to Stout Month? I'm like, we always did Chops, and that had no real tie-in either. So, like, why not? It's Groundhog Day. Yeah. That's genius, you know? Yeah. Here at the Vine Street, Caroline set up a really fun bingo night.
Nice.
With Nathan Lund as the host.
Yeah.
So it's like Stout Month Bingo, where all the balls are all the names of the guest and house stouts. So yeah, each pub under the sun has a huge Mardi Gras thing going on. So yeah, it's really fun. This year, it's not just brew a bunch of stout, buy a bunch of stout, and serve it. We're really trying to get everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's really neat. I love Stout Month. You know, for me, I've been out here about 8 years now, and it's become the classic staple of what to look forward to in February. And I love that, you know, a lot of my friends will go on these like dry January kicks. I don't know why I'm still friends with them, but but at least at the end of the tunnel, they always look forward to having Stout Month to kind of get back on the wagon.
Well, it's funny. I tell everyone to do it the opposite way around. You should be gaming up in January for February.
That's right.
And then you should take March off.
Yeah.
Because that happens here. The staff and customers are like, yeah. Oh, I'm not really drinking. And I'm like, I need a lot of empty kegs to fill with stout. So please do that.
So you got to build your base because stout's...
Right. How are you preparing for stout month if you're not drinking in January? I'm very confused.
You're not. You're failing. Right.
What about you guys? What do you guys... do you all have any favorites from stout month? Do you all have any ones that you always look forward to? Hunter, Sammy?
On the spot. Not right off the top of my head, no.
Oh, man, I have got one that Sammy I am does. So excited for that I was telling John about a month ago when I was selling Cerebral Beer in for the month. Back in August, I think, had a hoppy stout up at Southern Sun called Space Odyssey, and I've been craving a black IPA for, I don't know, the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it scratched the itch. It was exactly what I needed. And when John said that it was coming back for Stout Month, I was like, done. I will be in every single day, checking the menu, leaving if it's not on.
That's here, too? You guys have it? This
yeah, all of the stouts will pour at all five cool. locations yeah. for sure.
That's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah, I think you like it. It's dry hop with money, a.k.a. Galaxy
yeah,
Hops.
Yeah, a.k.a. Galaxy Hops. I have expensive tastes. No, but it is just the perfect roast, the perfect dank. It is just, I can't stop thinking about the beer. I'm sorry.
Well, Hunter, I'll give you a little bit more time. One of our go-tos in my group of friends is the Girl Scout Stout.
That's the first stout I had at Stout Month like 5 years ago when yeah. I first came. Yeah, yeah, and that's what I was going to say, but I'm actually not a big adjunct stout fan. I'm very much a traditionalist when it okay. comes to a good stout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also a big fan of the Addition, I believe, is the current name of it. Yep. It's a coffee stout, correct? And then, you know, just the entire lineup is incredible. We've got it all listed up on our website. You know, coconut cream stout, the Moloko coffee cream stout. You've got the Norwegian wheat stout, which is what we're drinking right now. Tell us a little bit about this Norwegian wheat stout.
Yes, please.
Yeah, the Norwegian wheat, you know, we started piloting this batch back at Southern Sun probably 6 or 7 years ago. And, you know, my idea behind the beer, I mean, I'm a big fan of wheat beers in general, and I had never had, you know, a stout that used the wheat base. And then as we started working on the beer, you know, we shifted gears a few times, but then it kind of turned into this thing where, you know, we realized that our milk stouts, obviously, but then a lot of those flavored adjunct beers for Stout Month all use this milk stout base. And not everyone wants lactose in their beer. Sure. So this kind of transformed into a project where we were like, let's make a beer that drinks like a milk stout, but just uses traditional brewing ingredients and not milk sugar in the beer. That's really cool. So that's kind of where we finally got it. You know, it's 8%. So some of that that body helps just that perception, a little bit of sweetness there. And then just the texture of the wheat malts is just really soft, you know. So I think we finally, you know, it's finally come to fruition. It drinks like a big milk stout, but there's no milk sugar in there mm-hmm. at all.
That's awesome. And you all have introduced three new stouts this year. Can you sure. tell us a little bit about those?
Absolutely. One of them is the other one that I brought out here for us to try. This one's called the Old World Stout.
Cool.
So I'm really into, you know, historical beers, or in my mind what these beers might have tasted like a few hundred years back. So this is basically our interpretation of what a stout would have tasted like in the 1700s.
Ooh.
So, you know, that we use lots of heavily toasted, really rich grains. We didn't want to use fancy modern grains that we use every day. So it just uses four grains, amber malt and brown malt mainly, which are just really heavily toasted. And then we aged it in second or third use bourbon barrels. So really just to get the oak character. And then it's been resting with Brettanomyces clauseni for basically a 2 year period. So that was our idea. If we're going to mimic something from hundreds of years ago, obviously the malting technology would have been poor. The malts would have been dark and maybe a little smoky and rich.
Yeah.
The beer would have been in wood. And clearly it wouldn't have been a pure Saccharomyces fermentation. So, you know, I mean, who's to say how accurate we are, but it was a fun beer to try to recreate.
Dude, that's really
and
cool.
And kind of in our mind, that was kind of the goal, yeah. you know?
That's really cool. I really love this interpretation of it. And, you know, having that Brett characteristic really, you know, brightens it up and makes it really unique.
Yeah, well, I've been telling the staff, if I told you there were tart cherries in it, you would believe it.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
There are no adjuncts in the beer.
That's incredible. And also, you know, one of the classic traditions of Stout Month is introducing a host of guest beers. You know, Cerebral has Under the Stars going in all the locations. Horatio, I know, has got Genius Wizard, but you guys have, I think, 36 or so.
It's all a lineup of true stouts as well.
Yeah. I remember last year one of my favorites was still the ability to catch Crooked Staves barrel-aged stout.
Absolutely.
Which we actually just spoke with Chad Jacobson, and he mentioned that they actually do have more bourbon barrels stowed away. Cool. So hopefully eventually we can get that back out here.
But absolutely.
It blew my mind because at the time, Crooked Stave still hadn't introduced their clean program yet. And so that was kind of the first real clean beer that I had had from them.
That's what, you know, that's the way Chad called us up. He said, you know, I'm a huge fan of Stout Month. He said he came in one year, like right after his son was born, like 3 days old. He's like, we finally brewed. We're releasing our first bourbon barrel aged stout, you know, just for Stout Month. And I mean, I'm flattered by that. And every year this happens, we're just flattered. All you guys make the best beers available to us. So many breweries brew just for Stout Month or do variants just for Stout Month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a total honor and a privilege. And, you know, that's all I do. It's a family atmosphere. And I just try to share all the love with all of our friends and neighbors around here.
That's really cool.
That's cool.
And then in addition to the guest local beers, you all also have two specialty national offerings as well, Surly's Darkness and Modern Times as City of the Dead. How did that come about this
Absolutely.
Year?
And we just got a third one, which is how it all started. So a keg of Barrel-Aged Darkness lands here tomorrow.
You Whoa. Did it? Dude.
Dang.
One of only five in the state.
You did it.
So yeah, that's how that whole thing started. We met some of the Surly guys during a Meet the Brewer section at GABF a few years back.
That's awesome.
They misalphabetized Mountain Sun and put us in Southern Sun with the S's.
So
the cool thing was that we were right next to Surly, and with only the brewers being behind the booth, we just hung out with those guys for days.
Yeah.
And then when Surly launched to Colorado this past GABF, Zach from Elite brought Bill from Surly over and told him about Stout Month, and right away Bill was like, that just sounds super rad. How about I send some Barrel-Aged Darkness out? And I'm like, technically it would be 5 years. I was going to keep it all in state, but I right on the spot, I'm like, if you are sending Barrel-Aged Darkness, I'm breaking the seal right now. It's a done deal.
Absolutely.
So then I was working with Elite, and they weren't even sure if they could get it, even though Bill was trying to get it to us. So they secured Darkness and kind of package deal with the Modern Times City of the Dead, which I had zero problem with.
Yeah.
So, you know, when things like that kind of come across our plate, we jump in, and then clearly now it's paid off because the five kegs of BA Darkness just showed up, and then,
like,
no, Zach just came in like an hour before you guys
got
here.
So what do you tell people now when they want to get in the Stout Month outside of the state? You're not good enough?
I don't know. It is really tough. Even in state, it's so tough every year to share the wealth at this point.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be on, and everyone's making great beer, and we're all friends with so many of our local brewers, and it's really hard to tell people no. So I really just, you know, I have to keep the lineup interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just some people, you know, kind of come in and out of the fold just because I have to mix things up.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, I just tell everyone to just hit me up early. You know, if you're calling me in January, you're already way too
you're
late.
Already late. You're
call
late.
Me in late summer or before Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah.
Most of the beer is purchased by like Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. Well, now for all of those aspiring breweries out there who want to get into Stout Month, you just learned the secret. So you'll be getting a lot of early emails in July.
It makes my life a lot easier.
Ding.
Oh, no.
Well, for those who are looking to participate in Stout Month and enjoy all of the roasty goodness, where should they go? Tell us about all the locations.
So, I mean, we have five locations. We have three locations in Boulder, the original Mountain Sun Pub and Brewery. And then in South Boulder, in the Table Mesa Shopping Center, we have the Southern Sun Pub and Brewery upstairs and Under the Sun Tap Room and Pizzeria downstairs, which all of our places are amazing. But the food at Under the Sun is our one restaurant that has a slightly more upscale menu, wood-burning oven. And they also have 10 extra beer taps. So they have 31 beers pouring at all points. Our newest location, Long's Peak Pub up in Longmont, right on the main drag there. And then obviously where we are here, Vine Street Pub and Brewery, the heart and soul of the brewery in uptown Denver.
What is it, 10 years this year?
Yeah. Yeah, the restaurant will be celebrating 10 years this year.
That's
absolutely
awesome. Cool. Yep. I still remember when I first moved out here, my friends and I would come out every Thursday for dollar tacos after 10 o'clock, yeah. I believe. And really, you know, it's been so incredible to have Vine Street as part of this beer community. You guys have done such great work, and we love coming out here. Just make sure you bring cash or a check, because that's what they take here.
We're old school.
Yeah, John, thanks so much for telling us a little bit more about Stout Month. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll get back into it with a few other topics. Hang tight. This is the Porchcast on PorchDrinking.com. It may be Stout Month here at Vine Street Pub, but at First Draft Tap Room and Kitchen, it's Sour Month. All sour beers on tap. Once again, our friends at First Draft Tap Room and Kitchen is the Pour Your Own Draft System Beer Bar located at 1309 26th Street. Basically, it's like the adult version of Froyo. You can go up and sample as much as 16 ounces at a time or down to 1 ounce if you really want to just sample a little bit of everything. With over 40 beers on tap, it's the perfect location to go and discover beer. Once again, that's First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, celebrating Sour Month throughout the month of February. 1309 26th Street, First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. We also want to take this opportunity to remind you about our friends at Made by Chalk. Chalk specializes in creating brand experiences for the craft brewing industry. From product packaging to websites, apps, and events, Chalk's services are tailored for independently owned craft breweries, maltsters, and industry-related consumer products. If you're looking for premium branding for your brewery or a new concept for your web design needs, visit madebychalk.com. Once again, that's madebychalk.com. Like what you're listening to? Be sure to follow the Porchcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and whatever listening devices you may follow. You can also follow Porch Drinking on Twitter and Instagram at PorchDrinkingCO. And now, the Porchcast. All right, we're back once again with episode 48 of the Porchcast. We are at Vine Street Pub this month, talking to John Fiorilli about Stout Month. And that was earlier in the conversation. Now we're going to jump into another topic that is just as hype-worthy, talking about Pliny the Younger. Yearly tapping, coming back on tap here later on this month. Guys, what do you think about the return of Pliny the Younger? Have you guys actually tried this beer, this cult classic beer?
I have not.
Wow. Really?
All right.
I just can't do it.
I have
Not until someone gives it to me. Right? I'm going to do shit for it.
Not until, you don't have to work for it.
No, I'm not working someone for it.
I knew Hunter wasn't waiting in any lines to get a beer.
So I tried it 2 or 3 years ago up at Backcountry Pizza, but it was because they were also tapping 2x4. Oh. And I'm not too proud to admit that I was up there to try 2x4. And they were like, well, would you like a ticket for Pliny too? I was like, well, yeah, of course I would like both tickets. And so I got to try both in one sitting. And if nice. I remember, I mean, you know, it's a triple IPA. It's you know, gold standard. Yep. It's great beer.
Russian Rivers, Pliny the Younger, triple IPA, as Sammy just mentioned. Really cool story, though. I know that there's all this hype around the rarity of it, but one of the really cool things that Vinny and Natalie do is they actually have all the proceeds from sales of the beer going towards a nonprofit in support of breast cancer research. And they've done this since the beginning, I believe. And now all of the local distributors and actually, retailers as well are getting on board with their own versions of this fundraising effort too. So aside from just being, you know, the beer nerd's holy grail, it actually does benefit a really good cause too. So a big ups to Elite Brands out here for doing the same and really asking that their retailers follow suit. And then also, big thanks to Russian River for putting together such a good cause around something that they really probably didn't need to do. John, have you had a chance to try Pliny the Younger yet?
I have. We had a six still here maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, really awesome. Elite hooked us up. We got one six still, pre-sold tickets. 5 minutes and 27 seconds later, it was gone.
Hi, man.
I got a little nip of it in the meantime and was very appreciative of that. It's the one and only time I've ever had it.
Yeah, me too. It's like, oh, thank God. Like,
it's funny. Back in the day, Avery used to have their Strong Ale Fest, and it always used to fall out around this time. And for 2 years in a row, when I used to volunteer, they would always get a keg, and I'd steal a nip or two. And that's when I got to try it. I never waited in any lines. But volunteering for a festival like that had its privileges.
That's awesome.
And we got to try a little sample of that, too. Speaking of Avery, Avery made some big news in announcing that they're going to launch an Avery Invitational to replace Avery Strong Ale Festival. And so actually, both Strong Ale and Sour Fest are kind of going to the wayside in efforts to bring on this new festival. What do you guys think about this move towards the Avery Invitational? You know, Weldworks just announced that they were doing an Invitational this summer. I know that down in Florida, they just announced a big Invitational as well, and I can't remember the name of the brewery, but they do the Miami Vice beer. I can't remember.
Jay Wakefield.
Oh, it is Wakefield. It is the Jay Wakefield Invitational. Yeah, so they announced a massive lineup.
Wakefest, right? That's what it's called.
How do you guys feel about the move shifting from these two classic beer festivals that Avery has been known for the past 10 years to now going to this Invitational format?
Maybe they were burnt out a little bit by putting on two beer festivals.
Huge festivals.
Yeah, two birds,
one stone.
Like. Yeah, they mentioned in kind of the write-up that you know, they notice that the industry is constantly changing, and they want to make sure that they're bringing something fresh and new.
Sure.
I personally love the concept. They talked about in deciding which breweries that they're going to eventually invite to attend. They actually polled all of their employees, and cool. So you have they're going to send out some invitations to the likes of Coors. Some employees enjoy drinking Coors Light, and then they have anything up to they're going to send out, you know, try to shoot from the stars and reach out to people like Trillium and Treehouse and stuff that, you know, generally you can't find out this way, but we'll see if they actually get out this way for this fest. So I think it's really cool that they hit this wide breadth of breweries. So
we have the advantage of at least 20 of their employees are our former alumni, so I guess we made the cut already.
Yeah, that sounds
your
great.
In the mail.
Yeah, totally.
Money.
Yeah, I mean, I love this new concept. I think it's going to bring some fresh air to, Avery, which has for such a long time been a leader in the industry. I think it's cool that they're able to innovate and kind of change what they're doing. Also, I want to touch a little bit about the, you know, in terms of old guard breweries. We recently heard that Sam Adams and Sierra Nevada are announcing iterations of their own, introducing hazy IPAs, joining the likes of New Belgium and Epic. Sammy, you're the hazy IPA expert here with Cerebral. What are your thoughts?
I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. I wouldn't call myself an expert, but the more the merrier. It's, you know.
You're our hazy IPA expert, like Sam Sly is our legal scholar.
Perfect. That's great. I'll accept it. It'll pass.
A lot of lawyers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's definitely a trend right now that seems to kind of be sticking on. And if the momentum continues and if the palate of the general consumer tends to move in that direction. And if you want to mess around with releasing a hazy IPA in year-round, mass-produced in a can, like, go for it. I think I'm excited to try both. I haven't tried either. Mm-hmm. I think that there's room for all of us.
John, are you on either side, either camp of the hazy
John's
IPA?
On the side.
Yeah, I'm on the well, like from our brewery, I'm on the other side of the camp for sure. Our joke here is that we originated the hazy IPA like 10 years ago when we were using a 10 barrel brewery to supply 3 restaurants with beer, and our IPA was like 12 days old, and we got knocked for it so bad, and I've worked so hard on the clarity of our beers,
and you're like, oh, what the hell?
We are not going back. But I mean, I do enjoy drinking the ones that are made well. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just awesome that Sammy's here, because that's basically what we do here, is we just send everybody down to Cerebral. They come in like, oh, do you have New England IPA? And I just explain that, you know, we're not really brewing that style right now, but that all of our neighbors in the neighborhood are making really awesome ones, and you guys should go over there and check it out. Yes. You know, yeah. So, and as far as like the mass distribution, you know, like Sammy said, everyone is going to follow these trends, especially if it's driven by the consumer, mm-hmm. which right now mm-hmm. it clearly is. You know, from as a brewer, I will always argue that I don't know that that style of beer is suitable to be distributed to mass markets, just because of the freshness and the age of the beer.
Totally.
To me, it's more of a tap room draft kind of style of beer. Yes. But I do know those breweries are already addressing the shelf life and the, you know, how to handle it in trade. So I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out.
Yep. All right, I've kept him quiet for this long, Hunter. I've unleashed you.
Oh, shit.
Go forth.
Yeah, no, I think people in New Belgium obviously have amazing marketing and market research departments. So they've definitely done the research that's proven that the trend is here to stay. Breweries like those breweries as well have been losing a lot of market shares in the industry in general. So if you're going to kind of, you kind of have to, like, if you're not, if you can't beat them, you have to join them sometimes. You know, if they wanted to stick to their guns and not, like, New Belgium didn't even want to brew an IPA for, like, the first fucking 15 years they were a brewery. Mm-hmm. Eventually they caved there when they realized that it's half of the craft beer market right now. So you have to have an IPA.
Now half of their portfolio is an IPA, I feel
I think Voodoo Ranger's number one now. Yeah. Is their number one brand.
I'm not surprised. It's not a bad IPA either.
It isn't.
It's not a bad, like, little go-to IPA. Easy to pick up a quick six-pack or... I know there's a lot more exciting IPAs out there, but yeah, I wasn't surprised. I have had both of them. I will say they are, you can tell that they have been brewed with a little bit more thought about shelf life. They're actually not nearly as hazy as Cerebral's beers or Weldworks hazy IPAs. They're not even close. They're borderline just unfiltered.
Yeah.
IPAs. So is the shelf life going to be, you know, a full 3 months? Probably not. Still, they're still designed to sell quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if they do, and we'll see, like you said, John, how they address it. You know, if the reps are going in and seeing their beers on tap or on the shelf for 3 months or longer that are hazy, like, what do they do about it? You're right, it is totally a draft beer. That's half of a beer, in my opinion, still. That's my personal opinion on the style.
Yeah. Last night, I actually got a chance to sample all three at an industry event. And, well, all three being Sam Adams, Sierra Nevada, and New Belgium. Epic wasn't there, but I think out of the three, I preferred New Belgium the most, Sierra Nevada close behind. And then Sam Adams was probably more of just like, it tasted like a pretty basic IPA.
Yeah.
And so, I think New Belgium, you know, whenever they're diving into something, they're going to try to do it well. And I think in this case, they have. And it shows.
I will say Epic's Citrulush, that was their first kind of mass release.
Oh, that was
it was really good. Yeah. That was one of the actually hazy IPAs that I thoroughly have enjoyed.
And their collab with Telluride Blizzard Conditions.
Yeah, I think that kind of stemmed from Blizzard Conditions. Yeah. It was great. Yeah.
So fantastic. Good.
Well, anyway, guys, I think that's kind of takes us to the end of this episode 48. Once again, John, I want to thank you so much for having us back, and hopefully we'll actually get this out on the website here in the next day or so.
Awesome. Do you guys want to talk about the Stone lawsuit before we go? Or
stop it.
That's what you get for being
late. I know, you're like, I was hoping to talk about the Super Bowl victory.
Oh, yeah?
We didn't really talk about the Super Bowl victory.
Yeah, John, give us your thoughts on Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. I finally waited my whole life for a Philly team to win a championship.
I know. I can't believe I tried to snub your opportunity to tout your Eagles.
Born and raised in Wilmington, Delaware, when you don't have a team with your state, you have to pick and choose. So Baltimore fans, as random luck was habit, I was home visiting my family.
Oh,
so I got to watch the Super Bowl with my dad and my older sister.
Oh,
so
awesome.
It was a long time coming. Now I'm just hoping the Flyers can win the Stanley Cup.
All right. Nice.
That That was me knocking.
Well, once again, folks, be sure to head out to Stout Month and check out all the delicious stouts, both from the Mountain Sun Breweries and from the Guest Taps. Sounds like Barrel Aged Darkness is going to drop, well, when you're listening to this, hopefully today. So be sure to get down there early and try as much of the Barrel Aged Darkness as you can. John, congratulations on 25 years of Stout Month.
Congrats.
Yes.
We're so thankful to have this as part of the beer community, and hopefully many more years to come. So yeah.
Couldn't do it without you guys.
Yeah.
Next year we could do like a Stout Month and Winter Brewers Olympics. We could just bring in some snow outside, bring it back.
Okay. Petition the city of Denver.
For George.
Events
for George's
to
bring
run.
In snow into the
or
city.
We just clear out this space and turn it into the Thunderdome.
Yeah. We can get an ice rink in here.
Oh, yeah. Yep, Winter Brewers Olympics 2028.
We can luge down the steps, you know? It'll be perfect. It'd be great. Well, yeah, once again, big thanks to Vine Street and the Mountain Sun Breweries. John, it's been great having you. Sammy, Hunter, Sam, thanks again. This has been episode 48 of the Porchcast. Check you later.
Check you later.
Check you later. Bye.
Listening to, be sure to follow the Porchcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and whatever listening devices you may follow. You can also follow Porch Drinking on Twitter and Instagram at @porchdrinkingco.